Thanks for hitting play again on this episode. If you're loving what we're doing here on the Professional Photographer Podcast, you're just scratching the surface of what PPA has to offer. As a PPA member, you'll get access to benefits that support and protect your business, like equipment insurance, sales and marketing tools, discounts on industry essentials, and even a 24/7 affordable telemedicine program. What? Need help with contracts and copyright protection? We got you. And customizable resources and tools are waiting for you. And that's not all. Members also enjoy Professional Photographer Magazine, delivered monthly, packed with stunning visuals, inspiring stories, and practical tips to keep you growing. Explore all the perks of membership at PPA.com. That's PPA.com. I mean, it's only three letters. You can remember that, right? PPA.com. We want you to join our community. We are here to help you grow and thrive. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Pat Miller, and this is the Professional Photographer Podcast. On today's show, we're going to do something a little bit different. We are going to grow your portrait studio. But we're not going to grow your portrait studio by talking about portraits hardly at all. We're not going to talk about Google ads, and we're not going to talk about a ton of different social media strategies. Oh, no. We're going to talk about showing up for thousands of families a year doing volume photography. Susan Michael is our guest today, and she's got one whale of a business, taking photos of dance studios, building great relationships with all of those families, and then converting them into portrait clients. It is a beautiful model. And if you're a portrait photographer, I mean, you got to get in on this. Susan gives us all of the detail that you would need to take action. So if you want to make more money with your portrait studio, you got to get into the volume game. Susan is standing by. We'll talk to her next. Susan, welcome to the Professional Photographer Podcast. How are you today?
I am super excited. I'm good. We're in Florida. It's 100 degrees, but it just started raining outside. So we'll see how much rain we hear.
100 degrees. I'm a gentle Midwesterner. 100 degrees makes me like shake.
Maybe it's 98. Oh. It's really a difference between 95 and 100. Not much, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, it's great to have you here, hopefully in the air conditioning. And if someone hasn't met you yet, tell them who you are and what you do.
My name is Susan Michael. I've been a professional photographer for 30 years. That's hard to believe. And I'm in Jacksonville, Florida. I am a PPA master, and I was also past president of PPA. So I've been around the block a little bit with PPA.
So we say this to the military folks, but thank you for your service. And how long were you the past president? And what was that experience like?
Well, my year was officially 14 and 15, and I was on the board for 9 years. So it's about a 9-year run, give or take.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being a part of it and helping us get to where we are today. And you're not done giving, because today we get to learn from you how to build a volume to portrait pipeline. Let's start by talking about volume. You say you need to have a sure thing in your business. What do you mean by that?
Well, for years, I was a wedding photographer, and by and large, wedding photography is a sure thing. I mean, you've got a contract. There are times that things don't work out, but 9 times out of 10, if you've got a contract with the bride and groom, you know that that's going to happen, and you know that money's going to come in. As I got a little bit older, I wasn't willing to do the kind of weddings I did back in the day. I would do 40 weddings a year. And, you know, at some point, you just aren't going to continue to do 40 or 50 weddings a year. So I had a client that owned a dance school. I would say a medium-sized dance school, 250 kids, which is actually a fairly nice-sized dance school. And we had done the daughter of this person. And she said, is there any way you would consider doing a dance school? And I said, no. This was back in 2004 when digital cameras were just coming out. And it was a crazy time to be a photographer and just the technology and all the changes that were going on. But she finally convinced me to do it. And I said, well, I'll do it under one condition, that I can do it digitally. And she said, fine. And I said, well, we don't know what we're doing. We have to figure it all out. but we'll figure it out. And there'll just be stumbling blocks. And she was good with that. And she, you know, all these years later, now I did that school, this is 21st year this year. And she gave me the best opportunity to learn how to do this on the job, because there are a lot of moving pieces to photographing 250 kids multiple times. And it's easy to think we sold online. Now we sell online. It's no big deal. 15, 20 years ago, it was a really big deal to sell something online, just the software. And, you know, we've been through so many different software changes and different things over the years, but that's kind of how it all got started. And it was kind of crazy. And of course, you know, now this year, I felt so good going into it. We added another big school at the last minute, you know, 400 kids. So to add 400 extra kids at the last minute is not normal. And is, you know, a lot of extra work. And I was perfectly calm, didn't have any issues, because after all these years, of course, we know exactly what we're doing. We know how to, you know, work with any obstacle we meet. And that's a really good feeling. I did not feel that way 20 years ago.
No. So you transitioned from your sure thing being a wedding photographer to dance schools and volume photography. Did it ever feel odd to you to not do bride and groom pictures, and now you're just churning through kids in a dance school?
I have mourned not doing weddings, but you know, as you get on in your career and as you get a little older, and especially in Florida, where most of the weddings are when it's really hot, it's difficult to go stand out in the sun for 10 hours and be on your feet for 10 hours. And so I really think, you know, God just had a plan to kind of help me transition out of that. I still miss weddings. I still do weddings. We call them legacy weddings now because I don't advertise for weddings. But a lot of the kids that I do, a lot of the dancers that I do are getting married. And of course, they want me to do their weddings. So I can do that. And that's fun. But back when I first started with the dance schools, I never expected it to take over the weddings. It was just something that I decided to do. I thought it was fun. I was in the music business for 20 years of my life. I was a professional singer. And so I have a natural affinity for dancers and the arts and that kind of thing. And so 20 years ago, when I started this, it was just something else to do. The money was just extra money. It was not something I really thought about. And then eventually I picked up another 500 kid dance school, and all of a sudden it turned into something different. And over the last, you know, 10 years, it's just become much bigger. And I just saw it as a natural way to have that sure income coming in. And I do love the dancers. I mean, what is more fun than photographing a little baby in a tutu in sitting on a chair, you know?
Oh. The concept of a sure thing is interesting to a photographer, though. When you have a camera, you have a studio, and hopefully people come to you. But when you have a sure thing like a dance contract, you can kind of forecast, and it adds that extra layer of security. That must feel great.
Well, it's something that I've kind of had my entire career. And it took me a while to realize that some photographers don't have that. They just have never thought about it from a business perspective enough to understand that every business is going to go through ups and downs, and they need to have something that they know is going to come in. I mean, with a portrait business, it's all great. And yes, I make a lot more money on average doing a portrait client. But if a child gets sick, or a grandparent passes away, or anything happens, dad loses his job, now all of a sudden you've lost income. Mm-hmm. And that's something you can't control. I mean, if it rains three times in Florida and a client gets rained out three times, we always are like, okay, well, that's a done deal. Because after three times, it's hard to keep them wanting to reschedule and come back, because coming and doing a family portrait session is a lot of work for the mom. And after three rainouts, she's like, oh, so now there goes your income. So, you know, you can't run a business like that. I mean, you need to have sure income coming in, however you're going to do that. There's a lot of ways to do it. It doesn't have to be the kind of work we're talking about today. I mean, it could be headshots, or it could be, you know, doing a nursery school, or it could be doing, you know, portraits for boards, or there's a lot of things you can do that's not your normal speculative kind of work, that's a little more solid and a sure thing. So I'm fond of a sure thing.
We're going to take time to talk about how to turn volume into portrait clients in a minute, but I want to make sure we spend a second talking about getting the volume clients. So how would you recommend starting a partnership? And let's stay on dance because just that's your specialty. Okay. So how do you recommend opening the door with someone so we can get one of these coveted relationships?
Well, and they are coveted relationships. I'll tell you, you know, building your name up in that community and getting to know people in that community is a very important thing if that's what you want to do. Now, if you're going to do Little League, of course, you could do the same thing in Little League. But with dance, you know, they're very particular about their pictures and they want somebody that understands how to work with dancers if at all possible. I mean, I think how it happens for every person is a little bit different. For me, I got that job 20 years ago and it was a place where I could learn. And then, of course, word got out and people started calling me. And then over the years, it just turned into what it is now. But I think it's going to be different for every person. But the most important thing that someone could do is if you want to do this kind of work, don't just do it kind of haphazardly. So, you know, you have to have a plan. Say, okay, I'm going to do this. So now I'm going to go to the performing arts school and donate something to their silent auction. Or I'm going to think of any of my clients that have dancers and maybe they would introduce me to their, you know, their dance school owner. Or, you know, any way that you can push yourself. It's not really unlike anything we would do for any other kind of photography work. Put yourself where those people are and get to know them and be helpful in their community. Donate, do whatever you can do. And eventually you will get the work.
Isn't it wild that YouTube is full of podcasts talking about how to make money? And if you boiled them down to their salt, it really comes to show up and be a good person and business will just fall all over you. Just show up.
That is exactly what it is. Exactly. And so many new and younger photographers don't understand that basic concept. It does not have to be that difficult. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a people business. And that's the one requirement as a photographer. There are a lot of requirements, but that's the one photographer. It is a people business. I don't care what kind of photography you're doing. You have to be willing and able to work with people because I don't care if you're selling landscapes. You still got to sell it to somebody because a rock is not going to buy a landscape. You know, a person is going to buy a landscape. So we're in the people business.
Yeah. We don't need to go into all the specifics, but what's in it for them? When we're trying to build a deal with a dance school, obviously they want someone that will make their dancers look and feel great, but right. Do they get anything out of it? How do we light them up to get them to say yes to you?
Well, first and foremost, I would say don't go in thinking it's all about money because 9 times out of 10, it's not about money. Yes, we do some commissions with some of our dance schools. There's other dance schools we don't do commission with. It just depends on the school and what the original agreement is and how many kids are in it and so forth. But what they really want is someone who's going to come in there and treat their clients, their dancers and their dance families, the way that we would treat our clients as a portrait studio owner, because we're a part of their team now. And anything we do reflects on them. You know, if you dress nasty or you know, cuss all the time, which I everybody that knows me would laugh when I say that, but you know, I don't cuss in front of my dancers, you know, because you can't. I mean, you have to be appropriate. And they want you to be efficient. They want you to do what you say you're going to do, not be late on jobs. You can't say, oh, we're going to have these up in 5 days and then it's 10 days. Or we're going to deliver these at recital and, oh, something happened. We can't deliver it at recital. That never happens. That just is a given. You have to do what you tell them you're going to do. Mm-hmm. You have to be efficient and you have to know, they have to feel like you know what you're doing and then they will trust you.
I want to ask one more question about the schools and then we're going to get on to converting the volume to portrait. But are there red flags you have to look out for? Because not all dance schools are created equal. Sometimes they're not a good client, even if they say yes. So what are the warning signs?
Absolutely. If a dance school owner is immediately worried about your pricing, there's probably going to be a problem because that's going to reflect back to their parents. It's not going to work for you. If they want to do it completely different from the way you know is the best way to do it, I mean, you can approach it with an open mind in the beginning, But for example, I am never, knock on wood, knocking on wood, I am not going to shoot dance pictures on recital day. That's just ridiculous. Those kids are nervous. They're running around like crazy. They're sweating because they just came off stage. They're on a strict time thing. It is the worst day that you can photograph dancers. And the other thing is all of my dance schools, we photograph all of the dancers during their class time prior to recital so that we can deliver for recital. That way we photograph all the dancers because it's a numbers game. It is absolutely nothing but a numbers game. You photograph 500 kids, you're going to make twice the money as you photograph 250 kids. It just as absolutely works that out that way all the time. And so if you've got a dance school that wants you to come in on the weekend and photograph who wants to show up, well, now maybe you get 40 people. You're really working just as hard because when we're photographing these dancers, we have 28 babies standing there in their little tutus and we're boom, 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 boom. They're all doing the same pose. The teachers are there helping us. Now, if it's on the weekend, we could go from a baby to a teen to a girl that wants to jump. And now we're going back to the baby. And your brain is constantly readjusting for these ages. You're dealing with parents now, whereas in the dance school, you're not dealing with parents. So, you know, you have to understand what works for you and be willing to do that. And if the dance school owner doesn't want to work with you in the way that you feel is the best, then maybe you should not take that job.
We could spend the rest of the episode talking about tips for volume. And I know you've got them for days. And thank you for sharing what you already have. Yeah. But let's pretend, okay, I've got a dance school. Mm-hmm. How do we start that coveted transition from volume work with a dance school to portrait work inside my studio?
Okay, well, the very first thing that I did, and people have laughed at me because they say, why don't you hire somebody to do this? Because it is hard to do when you're doing a bunch of dance schools back to back and they've all got their recitals or their... So we typically deliver our portraits in person. We do not mail them either on recital, a rehearsal day, or at a designated day at the studio when other things are going on. For example, one of my big schools has a day where they pass out all their tickets, their t-shirts, their programs, and they do this for 2 or 3 days because they got 500 kids at this school. And we are up there passing out pictures at that time. Well, it seems like a waste of my time, but this is the only time those parents get to meet you. So you get to say hello. You can have anything up there you want. All of my dance schools support me 100%. They put an ad for me at no cost in their program. And this is when the parents can meet me. So when we do special things, like I know we're going to talk about the fairy thing that I do, this is the perfect tie-in for dancers, of course. We put little stickers on every envelope that is applicable to the side, you know, the age, the right age for this. We pass out cards. We talk to parents about it. We have posters up. And whatever we're wanting to promote at that time, we want to let the parents know that we do that. If I know that a parent has a junior or that's going to be a senior next year, I make a point of saying, hey, don't forget, we do senior portrait sessions at the studio and we give all of our dancers a complimentary senior session if you would like to do it with me. Mm. And yeah. So we just are constantly promoting it. But that's the big thing, I think. If I did not pass out my own pictures, then I wouldn't be able to meet them. And there's no one else that's going to do that for me the way I'm going to do it. So it's a very important thing for me, even though I'm tired and worn out by the time I have, you know, I'm delivering school number 6 and I'm sitting in some auditorium for 5 hours. People think, you know, that's a waste of time. It's a lot of money coming in because I sit there for 5 hours in the air conditioning.
Now, I want to draw attention to this, and I hate to be that guy, but you sit in a gymnasium, you hand out 150 families worth of dancer pictures, mm-hmm. and you leave with how many leads?
Oh, well, we have communication with all of them. I mean, and we've been doing a lot of these schools over the years. So we now have programs that we do with our dance schools to help them raise money for their team. So, for example, I know we're going to talk about the fairies as we get to it, but we give 50% of our session fee back to the dance school to help raise money for their teams. And that's just something we've been doing in the last 3 or 4 years, and it's helped tremendously. Just, you know, we'll send out it, they'll send out the email for you, and we'll have 25 people sign up for a fairy session where the average sale is $2,800.
And that's what I was trying to find out. So you can show up in the gymnasium for a day or go to a school and deliver and close 10, 15, 20, 30 sessions, portrait sessions, because you've built the relationship and you showed up.
Yeah, we had two people sign up for portrait sessions today for the little fairy sessions, just because I sat there and passed out cards and put the little thing on their little envelope, because it's that thing. What is that you say you have to meet? It was back in the day, it was 6 or 7 times of meeting somebody. Mm-hmm. Now they say it's 10 or 11. Well, if they never meet you, they're never going to have an opportunity to bond with you. And you tell them how beautiful their children are and, you know, put little smiley faces on the cutest little ballerinas and, you know, tell them which one won picture of the year. This little ballerina this year stuck her tongue out at me and put her hands on her hips. And she was about 2 feet tall in this huge tutu. And her mom, of course, bought one of those pictures. And I applaud her mom for buying that picture, because it's that kid's personality. And, you know, for me, that was the dance picture of the year. So her mom was super excited when I made a big deal out of it when she picked up.
You got the school, you got the leads, but you get the sessions because, in my opinion, you got really creative and come up with a really cool program. Finally, explain the fairy program, because I think this is so cool.
Well, you know, we've all seen fairy pictures done. I mean, back in the day, there was a beautiful photographer, and I believe it was Texas, Lisa Jane Murphy, and she did these beautiful fairy pictures. And this was when I was first starting my career. So this has been 30 years ago. And I always thought they were super beautiful. And 1 year, 15 years ago, probably, I said, you know, I want to do some of those fairy things. And I started thinking about how I would do it and what I would do. And then, of course, I realized over the years what a perfect fit it was with the dancers. All the dancers love to come be fairies. And so we provide all the costumes. We provide all the wings and all the stuff. We make a big deal out of it. I build a set worthy of Disney World. And I mean, it's a big deal to build the fairy set. And it just looks very real. It does not look cheap. It does not look fake. And when the kids come, they just have a fit. And, you know, we promote it that there's no bugs, there's no heat. Something that people can do, you know, when they want to do something, but they're not going to go do Disney World, or they're not going to do, you know, something major. They love to come do this. Plus, who doesn't love pictures of a beautiful little girl in a fairy costume?
And you don't just do fairies. What do you do for boys?
Well, recently we've added gone fishing. It was something that I would do if a parent said, well, I've got a boy and I really don't want to leave him out. And I would say, well, you know, I can turn the fairy set into gone fishing. I've got the little docks and all of the stuff. And it really was just a matter of me figuring out how to do it easily. And now we do gone fishing. So now we're not leaving the boys out. Mm-hmm. So now it's just double the potential income, because anyone can come. You know, another thing was, I was telling people that I would do the fairies. I thought the perfect age was 3 to 8. Honestly, 2-year-olds do not love to put their feet in the moss. Now, we can do a 2-year-old, but typically we're going to concentrate, you know, on 3 and up. And then I realized I was leaving out a whole segment of girls, because I have 10 and 11-year-olds that want to come in here and do this. So we bought some bigger dresses. And I tell a mom, hey, look, if a 10-year-old wants to be a fairy, I applaud that. Let's let her do it, because that's just the end of their innocence at that age. And it's just so sweet that someone that age wants to still come do it. So we added another 3 years onto the, you know, the years that we thought would be the right years, and got so many more sessions because we weren't excluding, you know, 9, 10, and 11-year-olds.
So you have this relationship, you offer the fairy sets, you offer the gone fishing set, and you kind of cruise past something that I want to make sure we spend a minute on. You offer the students in your dance schools a free senior picture session if they convert. Another way that you're getting in front of them, I would imagine that's popular.
Well, right. You know, so there's about, on average, I'm going to guess there's 20 to 25 seniors across the 6 or 8 dance schools that I do. And so why wouldn't I want these kids to come to me? And why wouldn't the parents want to come to me? Now, of course, they have to do the normal thing where they have to go to the normal school photographer and get their headshot and their robe and all of that stuff done. But they don't have to go to them for their specialty, you know, for their real senior portraits. And while senior portraits are not here what they might be in the Midwest for some studios, you know, you get 8 or 10 or 12 seniors in a summer. That's a hefty little bunch of money right there.
Yeah, for sure. And a great way to get them to say yes. It just reduces the friction of making a decision. Well, here's a photographer that I liked. She's already done good work for me. Why not do this thing I have to do anyway?
Exactly. And I'll tell you, we've got two dancers getting married this year. And I feel pretty certain I'll be doing the weddings. And that is really crazy. I mean, when you're standing there and that bride's coming down the aisle and you have photographed her since she was a 3-year-old and a 2-2, it's crazy.
It's amazing. All right. Beyond selling individual portraits to the members of the school, there are other ways to get additional revenue from the school. So how do you go about doing that?
Well, the fairy sessions, of course, are a big thing, but I have to say you can't believe how many people will come and do family portrait sessions or if a mom has a newborn. I mean, people are looking for someone they know and trust, and if you're already that person, then you're going to be the one they're going to reach out to first. And if you can snag that business, well, then when you do the math, it just becomes incredible. For example, last year we did a family portrait session. The granddad actually came with the son to look at the fairy pictures because grandma was sick. And it's the first time we've ever had two gentlemen come look at the fairy pictures. And the granddad just had retired as the CEO of a very, very big global company that is based here. And I knew that they were really into art. And he said, you know, this just looks like art. And he goes, I really want you to photograph all my grandkids. And I'm like, okay. So Christmas rolls around. He calls me. He wants me to come photograph the whole family and all the grandkids. It was an $18,000 portrait sale. And that all came from dancers.
Yes.
I could tell you countless other, you know, it goes backwards too. For example, I just hugged the guy who's playing, who's the guy in Beauty and the Beast that's not a nice guy.
Garcon? You know, no, Garcon.
Not Garcon. He played Garcon in the recital. Well, he was an NFL player here with the Jaguars, and I did their wedding 25 years ago, and I've done all three of their kids at this dance school. So we always laugh, and you know, two of them have already graduated. We've still got one left, and so he played Garcon this year in the recital. And it's just always funny when we hug. He's like, can you believe we're still doing this all these years later? You know, so it just goes back to what we said in the beginning. It's all about relationships. Photography is all about relationships. And you can be closed off and not friendly and not benefit from those relationships. Or you can realize that every time you interact with someone from one of these schools, that is a potential family session, a potential wedding, a potential anything that could lead to a $20,000 portrait sale.
Which is amazing. And before the YouTube police come for us, I don't think we're right with Garcon. We're close. It's a G word, but I don't remember. Anyway, I don't know. It sounds familiar, but okay. This seems like the type of thing that portrait photographers, like, they should all be doing. Like, this is their farm team to go out and take a bunch of volume photos and fill up the portrait side of the business. But it doesn't seem to be as mainstream as it could be. Why not?
Well, first off, volume business has always kind of had a little, you know, it's not as glamorous as the other business. Of course it's not. It's a lot of hard work. But isn't everything that we do a lot of hard work? And, just from a business perspective, it makes sense to think about, okay, how could I get involved with 2,000 families a year? 2,000 families. Let's say each one of my dance schools, this is the way I look at it, each one of my dance schools have between 40 and 60 new baby ballerinas every year. And you multiply that times 8. That's 400 families that you are going to personally work with, that someone else is giving you that business and you have the potential to turn it into whatever you want to turn it into. But you have to be nice and you have to know what you're doing to make all of that work.
2,000 families. I mean, that's like buying Google Ads, 2,000 families. But you're actually meeting them all.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Imagine a Monopoly board and someone's got their little guy I'm always the thimble. I don't know what you are, but I'm always the thimble sitting on the go, and they want to do this. What's the first thing they should do to start down this road of turning volume into portrait?
Okay, well, first off, you have to realize that any kind of volume is going to give you access to people, either email address, their personal, you know, their phone numbers. If they buy something from you, you're going to have all that information. So come up with what is going to make sense that will work for you, that's authentic to what you do, that you can then push it out to all of those people and really use. It's not unlike anything you hear all across YouTube. Find somebody else's business that has your clients and work with them. And that's exactly what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Only I'm making $100,000 a year in 6 weeks. Yeah. And I'm doing all of that. You know, when people are constantly calling you, wanting to give you money, that's a good thing. So the first thing, the very first thing I would do is think, okay, what is going to be right for me? If dance school's not right for me, maybe Little League is, or maybe shooting kids on horses, not shooting, but photographing kids on horses. I mean, equestrian, there's some tennis, sports, there's so many different ways that you can, you know, do this. And then think broader than just that job. Think, okay, if I can get these kinds of jobs, how can I turn these kinds of jobs into portrait business? Because that's where the real money is going to come in.
Mm-hmm.
Having, you know, say, let's say I have 100 of these people come a year, and let's say the average is $3,000. $300,000 that I didn't have to do one Facebook ad. I didn't have to do any advertising. All I had to do was my job and be nice.
And while we're brainstorming for all the band nerds out there, represent, don't forget the band kids. There's a lot of kids band in an orchestra, kids. Right? Band oh, kids yeah, need love too.
The band kids for sure. My nephew played alto sax in the Tennessee band. It says Saxy Aunt on the front of my car. Yeah.
That's awesome. All right. The last word on pipeline of volume to portraits. What haven't we covered that you'd like to share?
I just don't think photographers always think as far ahead or outside the box as they need to. And really and truly, all we're talking about is very basic business models. I mean, this is how a lot of small businesses work. We just happen to be photographers. I think photographers get caught up in the fact that we're artists, and they don't often realize that we're business people first, really, because the art is about 10% of your business and the business is 90% of your business. And if you can't handle the business, then the art is never going to flourish.
I love it. And for the record, I looked it up. Gastone, not Garcon. Gastone. That's right.
Oh, Gastone. Yes.
Gastone. Susan, thanks for coming on the Professional Photographer Podcast. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I hope this helps somebody. And of course, I'm going to be speaking at Imaging USA this year on Tuesday at 10:30. We're going to go a lot more in depth in all this. And I hope that everyone will join us there. I'm excited to be speaking there again.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Professional Photographer Podcast. I'm pretty confident that this one's going to make you some money if you take action. So now it's up to you. Are you going to act? Before you go, I do have an action for you. Can you like and subscribe to the show? And even better, leave us a comment. What did Susan say that made you go, "Oh, I never thought of it that way," or "Wow, I'm going to go do that"? The comments seem like not a big deal, but they're an uber big deal because it helps us know what are we doing that's connecting with you. So like, subscribe, comment, whatever, but we'd love to hear from you. One other thought, if you're not yet a member of Professional Photographers of America, well, you're missing out. PPA offers incredible resources like equipment insurance, top-notch education, and a supportive community of photographers ready to help you succeed. It's perfect for photographers who are serious about growing their business in a sustainable and profitable way. At PPA, you belong here. Discover more about memberships at ppa.com. That's ppa.com. I'm Pat Miller, founder of the Small Business Owners Community and the publisher of the Small Business Summary Newsletter. Thanks for joining us on this episode. We'll see you right here next time.